Thank you, ma'am. And sorry about the typo in the program there. The objectives of my project were to make an agronomic assessment of 63 chemically mutated TAM94L25 lines, and also to determine if mutation can be used to positively influence fiber quality and yield characteristics of TAM94L25. In 01, Dr. Dickall treated 2 kilograms of 94L25 with EMS. The M1s and M2s were grown in Lubbock, Texas in 01 and 02. Roughly 1,300 M3 plants were grown in College Station in 04 and harvested all individually. Fiber samples were then sent to Lubbock to the Fiber and Biopolymer Research Institute for HVI analysis. Out of those 1,300 individual plants, the selections that followed were based on, well, what we did was we took the top and bottom 1% for fiber length, the top and bottom 1% for fiber strength, and the top and bottom 1% for fiber elongation. From those resulting progeny rows, up to 10 IPs per row were selected and re-evaluated for fiber properties. 128 samples of 94L25 provided the baseline fiber properties for selection purposes. 63 of those IPs gave rise to the mutation lines evaluated in this study. Lines exhibiting upper half mean, strength, or elongation, 3 standard deviations from their respective means of the 94L25 parent were selected for advancement in 07. Those 63 lines were grown along with the check, the M sub O parent, were grown in a progeny row nursery in both College Station and Weslaco, and 25 bulk samples were taken from each plot in each location to verify properties and for further sampling. In 08, replicated field trials containing those 63 mutant lines, one 94L25 check, and 2 commercial checks, FM832 and PSC355, were grown in College Station and Weslaco. The yield trial was set up in a randomized complete block design. There are 4 reps. The rows were on 40-inch spacings. Plots were 33 feet long in Weslaco and 43 feet long in College Station. 25 bulk samples were taken from 2 replications for HVI analysis, and plots were picked with a 1-row spindle picker. Because there's so many lines involved here, what I've done in the tables for the first half of my presentation is on top we have the top 10, followed by the 94L25 check, and the bottom 2 to kind of give an idea of the range of these lines. For yield, the commercial checks were at the top. However, the interesting thing to point out here is several of the mutant lines outperformed the TAM94L25 check, but at the same time, several yielded far less. For lint percent, mutant line number 53 was the top mutant. It was 37.7%. PSC355 was 38.9%. FM832, 36.9%. And the 94L25 check was 34.3%. For Micronair, the Micronair ranged all the way from 5.1 to 3.8. Again, PSC355 and 832 were, well, PSC355 was a pretty high Micronair. FM832 was 4.6, and the check was a 4.5. For upper half mean, the mutants dominated the top 10. As you can see, those are some really long fiber lengths. 24 was the top with 1.44 inches. 94L25 was 1.26, and FM832 and PSC355 fell in below the non-mutated parent. The shortest fiber were both 0.97s from mutant line 50 and 49. Fiber strength, again, the mutants dominated the top 10. Line number 35 had a strength of 36.7. The non-mutated Czech, 31.4, and the lowest mutant with a 27.3. For elongation, PSC-355 had the highest with a 9.7. TAM-94L25 had a 7, and the lowest mutant had a 6.3. So having established that there was a great deal of variation within the mutant population, and especially for yield, what we wanted to see was if the chemical mutation had any effect on some of the most basic yield components, like total number of fibers per seed and fibers per square millimeter. So the way we tested for this is in the M6 progeny row nursery in 07, 25 bowl samples were taken from each plot, both in College Station and Weslaco. 13 mutant lines were selected for hand ginning, along with the non-mutated parent. The lines were selected because we felt that they're representative, not of the population as a whole, but representative of the diversity within the M6 population. From each bowl sample, 8 locks were pulled out at random for hand ginning. There was at least 50 seeds in each sample. And in 08, 25 bowl samples were picked from the yield field trial from 3 replications in College Station. A subset of 8 locks was pulled out there too. And these samples were sent off to Lubbock for APHIS analysis. Delinted seeds were scanned and the images analyzed with the WinSeedl computer program to determine the average surface area of the seeds from each sample. Using the APHIS data and the surface area data, the average number of fibers per square millimeter were calculated and the total number of fibers per seed. Hand gin lint percent was, although slightly higher than the saw gin lint percent, it was very similar, with TAM-94L25 right in the middle there. For length by number, mutant line number 25 had a 1.09, TAM-94L25 again in the middle with a 1 inch, and mutant line 50 with a 0.78. For fiber fineness, line 47 was at the top with 192.3 millitex, TAM-94L25 again in the middle with 176.4, and line number 25 had the lowest with 161.6. So total surface area per seed, the mutants and 94L25 had, generally speaking, larger seed than the two commercial checks, although mutant line 2 and 3 were a relatively small seed, not statistically different than PSC-355. Fibers per square millimeter. Line numbers 3 had 225.6 fibers per square millimeter. PSC-355 had the second highest with 215.8. And 94L25 had 174.6, with the lowest being 151.2 for line 17. Fibers per seed, there's basically no difference here. I mean, the top half of the mutants were not significantly different than the 3 checks, and the bottom half of the mutants were not significantly different than the 3 checks either. This is a table showing the relationship between yield and fibers per square millimeter. And basically, with an R-squared of 12%, we're saying there's basically no correlation there, which is kind of counterintuitive. You would have thought otherwise. But again, this data is only from 1 year at one location. So I just put it up there for demonstrative purposes. Again, for total number of fibers per seed, no correlation. It's basically a flat line. To conclude, chemical mutation of TAM94L25 near long staple upland germplasm line produced variation for yield, for fiber properties, and within bowl yield components. Across the 63 mutation lines in 08, variation was identified that was significantly below and above the mean values for TAM94L25 for yield, yield components, and HVI fiber properties. The number of fibers per seed and the number of fibers per unit seed surface area varied from less than to more than that found on the non-mutated parent. Poor association again was found between yield and the number of fibers per unit surface area, and no association, as indicated by the correlation value, was found between yield and fibers per seed. The data presented here suggests that mutation could be a valuable tool in creating variation, even for traits that are considered at the upper limits of normal. For example, fiber length in 94L25 is already a 1.25, a pretty good fiber. So, I would like to acknowledge the support of Cotton Inc., the Texas Support Committee, and the Food and Fiber Grant Program. And as always, a special thanks to the staff and students and faculty at the Cotton Improvement Lab. Thank you. Any questions? Yes, sir. Okay, so let me go back a few slides. Can I get back to that? Basically, what you do is you take the lint weight of your sample, your hand gin sample, and you divide that number by fineness from the APHIS data, and multiply that by a million. Divide that number by the length by number times 0.0254 to convert it to metric. And that gives you the total number of fibers in your sample, and then you can just get your fibers per seed and then take that and get your fibers per square millimeter. Does that explain your question? Okay, that was, we used a modified computer scanner that they have there in Lubbock. And what it does is it scans seed, and the computer program analyzes the image and pops out a number for you, essentially. Any other questions? Thank you.